is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. So, Cody, the Bulls are officially not getting a first-round pick from that Kings trade.
We knew the Bulls were drafting 16th in the first round, and after Tuesday night's NBA draft lottery, we now know the Sacramento Kings have conveyed their 2017 second-round pick, number 38 overall, to the Bulls, stemming from the January 2014 Luol Deng trade. The allowances on that, the debts on that, are fully extinguished now.
Now, here's a little bit of trivia. Do you know who the? Do you know what the trade was that got the Cavs that pick in the first place?
The Cavs? I don't know. Not off the top of my head.
Do you know what the two players were that were involved?
No.
So the Cavs were getting Omri Caspi,
okay,
from Sacramento, along with that pick.
And what was the other side of the deal?
They gave up J.J. Hickson, who was formerly untouchable in a trade for Amari Stoudemire in like at the 2010 trade deadline.
We got a J.J. Hickson reference 90 seconds into our podcast. I did not see that one coming.
Well, hey, I mean, this stuff goes way. It's always really fascinating to go trace back kind of where some of these picks came from, some of these weird trades. But J.J. Hickson got a first-round pick in a trade. Like, it's just crazy how much times have changed.
I remember he had, like, three good games and was a good rebounder. That's about all I remember of him.
I had to watch him with the Blazers for two whole seasons, averaging, quote-unquote, averaging a double-double, but all of his, like, easy rebounds,
Pau Gasol rebounds?
Oh, it was worse than Pau Gasol. The team rebounded significantly better when he was off.
Like, when the other team shoots 90 shots and misses 45 of them, like, someone has to get those 45 available rebounds out there. But, I think we need to throw in another little fun fact. The Bulls-Kings trade ended with the Bulls getting a 2017 second-rounder. The second-round pick last year that netted them Paul Zipser, because remember they'd already traded away their other second-round pick. And then they also traded a second-round pick acquired in that deal with the Cavs via the Kings. All of that. That helped them get Doug McDermott. It was one of the many outgoing second-round picks in that deal, and they saved what, at the time the Bulls cited, was $20 million in luxury savings. So those three second-rounders, I guess the legacy of this trade, Sean, is going to be Reinsdorf saving $20 million and whatever Paul Zipser, your boy, becomes, right?
They basically traded the Luol Deng for Paul Zipser, is that what you're saying?
You could, 5 years from now, we could end up saying that. That's a good fact, though, too. Like, Paul Zipser's the last remaining remnants here. Unless they do hit on number 38 overall, I guess they could have a chance there in the second round. But more to the point of the NBA draft lottery, I guess I think we knew exactly what was coming for the Bulls. We weren't sure what was going to happen with the top three. Boston did get the number one overall pick that they owned via the awful Brooklyn Nets. The Lakers hopped up to number two. The 76ers hopped up to number three after they swapped with the Kings because the Kings are bad at trading in the past and always kick themselves in the butt. So it goes Celtics, Lakers, 76ers. Those Suns that should have got the number two pick by the odds fell to number four. And as this pertains to the Bulls, Sean, it's all about Jimmy Butler. Is he going to be traded? What's this have to do with Jimmy Butler?
Well, I mean, I think this kind of makes it pretty clear what the trade would be if the Celtics were to still have interest in Jimmy Butler. Because basically, now that we know it's the number one pick, there's no more uncertainty about what that pick is going to be or what its value is going to be. What you do is you just say, okay, the number one pick, and then you throw in, like, whatever contract you need to throw into to make the money work with the salaries, whether it's, like, Tyler Zeller, Jonas Jerebko. Like, Boston has guys you can put together who are, like, not essential players for them that you can just patch together to make the money work. But the important thing is it's the number one pick, and that's basically what you're replicating. And I wrote this about the Athletic the other day when the lottery happened. Yeah. You're basically replicating the blueprint of the Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love trade, where you're getting the number one pick in that year's draft as the return for your franchise player that you're trading away.
Yeah, the excellent comparison there. The catch is, that was probably as extreme and stark of circumstances as you're going to have, because the Cavs had just re-signed LeBron and immediately entered win right now mode, while the Timberwolves had for years failed to reach the playoffs, I believe, with Kevin Love. And we're totally ready for the rebuild. Whereas the Celtics, while at a really high level and competing for championships, don't have the greatest generational player in LeBron, who basically is making franchise decisions. Like,
but you're giving short shrift, I think, to Terry Rozier, who's been untouchable in these trade talks for a long time.
Danny Ainge still reserves the right to make the calls in Boston. Right. When LeBron re-signed in Cleveland, let's just say it wasn't on ownership in the front office completely to push for trades and such. LeBron was calling many of those shots. They knew what had to get done. And the Bulls obviously have been hesitant to go into a full-on rebuild. Management on multiple occasions has said how long you can get stuck in the mud there. So they're not quite like the Timberwolves there. But yes, you wrote an excellent piece on the Athletic. Check out. Sean's had a couple good pieces. And we'll get to the other one with Jimmy Butler later, his All-NBA honor and Supermax contract possibility ramifications from that, so check out The Athletic. But while the Celtics have the number one pick, they were hesitant at the trade deadline, like refused to offer that pick to the Bulls in whatever minimal trade talks they had, pick up the phone and say, hey, what's up? You know, it wasn't quite exchanging proposals like it sounded like last June ahead of the draft. But this past February, ahead of the trade deadline, it was the Celtics saying, no, we're not going to give you this pick if it could be number one. Like, we're going to put some protections on this. If we fall to three, maybe you can have it, and we'll think about it and go further. And then they said no. Does that not suggest that they just want to keep it, though? Because if they were willing to part with it before number one, they would have offered it without protections and just got the star player for one extra playoff run.
Right, and you know, the other thing you have to keep in mind is, you know, one the consensus top two guys in the draft are Lonzo Ball and Markel Fultz, probably in the opposite order of that, but they're both guards, and you know, the Celtics have Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley and Terry Rozier. Like, they have a lot of guards. They're going to have to re-sign Isaiah Thomas in a year. They're going to have to either re-sign or trade Avery Bradley in a year. If you take, you know, Markel Fultz, then you can say, okay, either Markel Fultz and Isaiah Thomas can play together, or else, you know, maybe we don't pay Isaiah Thomas $40 million a year next summer, and we can just have Markel Fultz in a cheap rookie deal.
Here's the point. I'm glad you brought that up, and it's one I think you mentioned briefly. I don't think anyone actually in the media has gone extremely in-depth on this, but whenever we've talked about the Jimmy Butler trade to the Celtics, all those rumors, all the speculation, rarely have we looked at it from Boston's financial standpoint. We've talked about Isaiah Thomas's possible Supermax extension, big deal, that wouldn't be a Supermax per se, but
it'd be a lot of money,
$200 million still. If they have Horford, Isaiah Thomas, and as you just pointed out, Avery Bradley, who deserves a lot more than $8.8 million or whatever.
Well, I think Avery Bradley would be the odd man out.
Yeah, something like that. But you add Jimmy Butler. If you trade for Jimmy Butler, you are trading for him to keep him past these next 2 years, I would think.
Yes.
You want him there long term, and even if he goes to another team, that's what another, I guess if they have his rights, they could have a similar deal, $190, $200 million potentially, in that case, if he was traded and you had those bird rights that go with it and such. But how can you justify, as the Celtics, having that much money to be like, that puts you over the luxury tax, I'm assuming, at some point here.
Yeah.
Puts you cash-strapped, hard to make trades after you've had all this flexibility. It locks you into a three-year win-now window, four-year, in which LeBron is still seemingly at the height of his powers.
It basically
and you're
makes
overlapping.
You the Clippers. It basically makes you Clippers.
Yes, good point. Good point. Where you just lose to the Warriors in the West, you just lose to LeBron in the East.
Because then you're like, because what the Clippers are, you look on paper and it's like, oh, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, J.J. Redick, that should be an awesome team. And then they just always underachieve in the West. You just feel like it would be the same thing if you look, you know, theoretically, Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas, Jimmy Butler, and then let's say like they somehow are able to make the money work and sign Gordon Hayward, like those four guys, like, wow, that's a great team on paper. They still don't have LeBron James.
Exactly, but I mean, that's just a ton of contracts that pile up, and basically what you're doing if you're the Celtics, I know there could be salary filler and such, but that salary filler you're sending out probably is short term and you're looking at Jimmy long term.
Right.
So like you're locking yourself into just like $150-160 million more dollars than you were probably going to have. And so from that angle, all the signs point towards the Celtics not trading for Jimmy Butler in any capacity, at least it feels like to me.
Do you think any of those other teams that have those top few picks could put together a package that the Bulls would be interested in? How excited, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for your boy Lonzo being basically slated to go to the Lakers now?
I love it. I'm a Lonzo Ball guy. If you guys need tickets to watch Lonzo Ball play next year, it won't be at UCLA. Probably will still be in Los Angeles.
Could be in all Indiana. Signs, could be in Indiana.
No. All signs point to Lonzo in LA, but you, if you want tickets, you should check out SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets. For all the games you want to see up close and in person this season, they also have concert tickets, theater tickets, all that good stuff. There's nothing like being in the stadium or arena for the biggest plays and shows of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want at a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime. With a few clicks, instantly find seats for this weekend's game or anytime later in the season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares. By searching multiple ticket sites, prices vary depending where you shop, but SeatGeek always finds you the lowest available price. SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade score based on value. Find where the underpriced seats are and get the best deals to fit your budget, 100% guarantee with SeatGeek as well, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. Locked On Bulls listeners, we need you to download the SeatGeek app. Click add promo code. Enter promo code LOBULLS, just how it sounds. L-O Bulls, and you will save $20 on your first ticket purchase using promo code L-O Bulls. You brought up other teams that maybe will be interested in Jimmy Butler. Logically, your mind starts wandering to the next four teams. The Lakers slotted at 2, 76ers slotted at 3, Suns at 4, and Kings at 5. None of those would surprise if they picked up and inquired about Jimmy Butler's availability, but I mean, what's realistic here? Like, do you see any of those happening any more likely than the other?
Well, I mean, I think the Lakers could definitely put together a package that would be appealing because they, you know, they have these other young guys. They have this number two pick, but then they also have like Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, some of these other young guys that they could put together a package the Bulls would probably think about, but you know, all indications are the Lakers are kind of focused on Paul George if they're going to go after any of these guys. But Paul George has made it pretty clear, you know, through back channels that he wants to go to the Lakers. Everybody kind of assumes that either they're going to trade for him or he's going to end up going there.
Jimmy would be redundant with Paul a little bit, too, I think. Not saying two great players can't coexist, but...
Well, that would be a pretty ridiculous defensive combo on the perimeter. But what I'm saying is, why would you give up all this stuff for Jimmy Butler when you could just wait and sign Paul George, or just trade a little less and get Paul George.
Exactly. Like, I mean, the Lakers, they're walking around with a lot more swagger with Magic and Rob Pelinka in that front office, and Jeannie Buss obviously running the entire show now with ownership. And look, they're confident they can attract free agents. They viewed the last 3 or 4 years where they swung and missed as basically a fluke, in part because they were in a weird ending with Kobe, just winding his career down and everything. So, 76ers, I don't see that. I just don't think Jimmy Butler fits their window whatsoever at all.
No.
The Suns, because Devin Booker's so good, like, I feel like, I think he and Jimmy Butler would be really good compliments, too, in the backcourt. Look, Jimmy doesn't have to be the offensive superstar. I think he wants to be a superstar, but I don't think he has to average the most points.
So you're thinking like the number four pick and then like Marquise Chriss, Dragon Bender, like some of these other young guys that the Suns have?
Yeah, has Dragon Bender proven it? I like Chris a lot more than Bender.
Bender didn't play much this year. He had an ankle injury.
Is it TJ Warren?
TJ Warren.
He's a pretty solid small forward. If I'm the Bulls, though, you'd really have to like someone at number four. And Josh Jackson will probably go number three to 76ers. I mean, that makes sense for the 76ers to get a wing. They have so many big men. So it seems like they're going to take
a wing or guard.
And Ben Simmons, ideally, is their point forward guy, right?
Yeah.
At some point in the future, maybe.
Yeah, but I think you still want to have a point guard on the roster.
Yeah, like if Lonzo Ball falls to him, I'm sure they'd be ecstatic. I just don't see that happening. And I mean, I guess I could see them. Everyone has Josh Jackson. I should say most people have Josh Jackson going.
De'Aaron
number
Fox
three.
Is the other guy.
But like people love De'Aaron Fox. And if you think you have shooting elsewhere on your team that can cover all your bases, I think you're okay without De'Aaron Fox. I mean, he's a bad shooter, and he's pretty much good at everything else on the basketball floor. Teams are going to love him for that aspect. But, yeah, assess it. Anyone else? I mean, Kings have the top five pick, number 10 pick. It seems like they want to build around those draft picks. So, signs are pointing Jimmy Butler being back in Chicago in a big way next year.
Yeah.
And, good transition here, maybe the future because of Supermax contract or designated veteran extension, designated player veteran extension, which you've written at length. Jimmy Butler got third team All-NBA on Thursday afternoon. The league announced that was his first such All-NBA honor in his career. Means you're basically one of the best 15 players in the NBA in that season, which I think most people, obviously the 100 voting media members, agreed. I think you and I agreed that third team fit perfectly.
Absolutely.
For Jimmy, he was well ahead of Paul George and Gordon Hayward, who were two real big case studies or guys people had their eye on because they could have been eligible for this ridiculous contract and extension had they been on the third team. But Jimmy grabbed that last forward spot, I believe, along with Draymond Green, the other forward on the third team that he grabbed it with, I think deservingly so for Jimmy. But what it means, past recognition, is it has contract implications because of the new CBA. If he is an All-NBA selection next year or the year after, he can be eligible to sign a massive deal with the Bulls. Explain it, Sean. Explain.
Yeah, so, I mean, the rule with the new designated player veteran extension is if you have, it's similar to kind of the Rose Rule contract that they had for rookie-scale guys in the last CBA, but now it's more for veteran guys. Basically, if a guy who's, you know, coming up on free agency like Paul George, Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins, whoever, and
going into their eighth or ninth years in the
eighth
league.
Eighth or ninth year. If they make All-NBA in two of the preceding 3 years or win Defensive Player of the Year in two of the preceding 3 years or win one MVP in those 3 years, they're eligible for a max contract that starts at 35% of the cap instead of 30, with 8% annual raises instead of 5. And so if we're looking at now, this is just projections that are way far out, but so the numbers are probably going to change. But there was a report at Yahoo in December, which I believe is the most recent report of the 2019-20 salary cap projections of $120 million. And so if Jimmy Butler were to get the benchmark, let's say he makes All-NBA next year or the year after, and he's able to qualify for this, his five-year extension with the Bulls, if the salary cap is $120 million, could be worth $246 million.
You say that with some incredulousness. And,
it's a lot of money.
And with a trailing voice, $246 million is what Jimmy Butler could conceivably be in line for to line up on a five-year deal starting in summer 2019. Starting salary, Sean did really good work here. Check out his Twitter account, at Hyken. With some of the easy-to-read charts. Jimmy Butler could start his first year of this deal at $42 million, 35% of that $120 million projected cap. 8% raises year over year after that. It would start in his age 30 season, take him through his age 34 season. Kid you not. It is conceivable. If Jimmy makes All-NBA in the Bulls and everyone moves forward with this, I mean, it's in the realm of possibility that Jimmy Butler could be making $57 million in 2023-24 season when he would be turning 34 years old. $57 million.
And that kind of makes you wonder, is that what the Bulls really want to do necessarily?
Again, this is not automatic. This would be negotiated.
They would be negotiated. The other thing is that these projections could change. Maybe the cap doesn't jump as much as we think it will. Like, that's happened the last couple of times we've thought the cap was going to jump. And then, we thought it was going to be 108 this coming summer. Now it's actually going to be more like 101, so maybe it's not that high. But as of now, this is the most recent projections that we have available to us, so this is what we have to go off of.
This is the thing, though. I don't think people, when they see it first, so because we haven't known the cap projection exactly, didn't know exactly who, didn't... We hadn't put the math out quite like this, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you see 5 years, 200 plus million for Jimmy Butler, and you think, oh, okay, you know, going up. But, like, when you really put it in, the fact that with those 8% raises year over year, he could be making $57 million in a single season. That's just outrageous.
At age 34, which just for reference, that's how old Dwayne Wade was at the beginning of this season.
And that's age 34 in Tom Thibodeau years, which is more like 37 or 38
right,
years
Jimmy
old,
Butler,
right?
Butler, like, you have to keep in mind, right? Like, the last four seasons, he's been in the top four.
What's the exchange rate there? You know, you got the U.S. Dollar against...
The Canadian dollar. The Russian dollar at this point.
Yeah, what's the years of experience for a normal player versus Tib years?
Well,
Thibodeauian years? It's like 1.2 years or 1.3
well,
playing
well, the
under
official
tips.
Currency is that picture I always tweet of Tom laughing. Which, that's the official currency for
Tibbs. That's
years.
Certainly the logo. I don't know what the exchange rate
well,
is.
Well, but, okay, so if you look at Jimmy's last few years, the last four seasons, every year he's been in the top four in minutes per game.
Hasn't even led the league in minutes since Tom left. Like, come on, he's been having a break the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's been in the top four.
Yes.
He's been in the top four. So. He's played through injuries. He played through that heel thing around the All-Star break. He obviously had something going on with his knee this year during the playoffs that affected his performance, and... We haven't heard anything about, like, whether that's a lingering thing. Maybe that was just some fatigue. But, you know, there was something going on there. He's not a guy where I can look at him and say, okay. Like, there are some players. Like, like Dirk Nowitzki, you don't have to worry about him just, like, getting appreciably worse as he gets older because he's a jump shooter. Like, his type of game ages well. You know, Vince Carter has been able to turn himself into the kind of player once he lost the explosiveness, whose game has aged well because he learned how to shoot threes. Jimmy Butler, you look at like the player he is right now. He's based a lot on athleticism. He's an isolation player. He's a defender who has to move a lot laterally to stay with guys in the perimeter. He does not strike me as the kind of guy whose game is going to age well into his mid-30s.
It's almost like this is like a deal you think on the surface they can't possibly do that. You can't possibly give him that much money on the back end of his contract, but at the same time, it's like, what's the other choice? Let him walk for free? Like, you can't do that either, which points back at the trade thing, but we just shot down all notions of a trade ahead of this draft, probably.
And the other thing is that if teams around the league get the sense that the Bulls would maybe not really like the idea of giving Jimmy that extension... That kind of kills their leverage in terms of, oh, we have to ask for a lot in order to trade him because otherwise, you know, we have to give him this money that everybody knows we don't want to give him.
Like, and look, Jimmy can enter free agency and possibly be eligible for that deal in summer 2019 if he opts out of that last year of his contract, which he'll obviously do because if we're talking
right.
about these starting values, that's a lot more than $19.6 million that he's currently in line for. And if he does have it, like, we're talking the difference. Other teams can give him about 4 years, $155 million. So we're talking a $90 million difference. Maybe even if he doesn't qualify for All-NBA the next two seasons, just the normal way the cap's set up and incumbent teams having the advantage year over year and everything, and given that fifth year, they can offer probably $40, $45 million more dollars than outside suitors would be able to. So, like...
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah, it's... At some point, like, I don't know how you justify 5 years, $246 million, $247 million, but, I mean, at that point, $57 million looks bad at the end. Like, is $49 million going to look that much better in that last year? You know what I mean? Like, if you meet in the middle somehow, because you can still negotiate that. Like, his starting salary could be 33% of that $120 million if
right.
they agree upon.
Well, and I think Paul George did a similar thing when he signed his rookie extension with the Pacers, where he negotiated that, like, his raises would be... I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I think he negotiated that, like, his max extension would have been for, like, $95 million, but he negotiated where it would be, like, $92 million or something. Like, just a little bit off of the actual max. Like, enough for it to feel like he got the max, but just enough to give the Pacers a little bit more room to keep flexibility.
I want to point out one more thing. First of all, we need to point out how incredible Jimmy Butler was this season. He set career highs in points, rebounds, assists, steals, free throw attempts per game.
And usage rate.
Big minutes again. He was incredible. Like,
he absolutely deserves this All-NBA.
Yeah, this goes hand in hand with what I'm going to say here in a second. Like, You need to realize, I know there's 15 of those spots, and like theoretically every other team in the NBA could have one person on that. But he's only the eighth player, I believe, in franchise history to make an All-NBA team. Obviously, what?
Jordan, Pippen, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah.
Pau Gasol made one a couple years ago, I believe. Bob Love and Norm Van Leer, I think, were
so
the
others.
So
that's the other seven.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's very difficult to do. And there's a lot of good young talent in the NBA. So here's my point. Like, Jimmy was awesome this year in making it. It could be pretty hard to make it one of these next 2 years. Like, if Paul George is just a little bit better all season long, he could have hopped in and grabbed that spot.
You want
Gordon Hayward could flourish and hop in and take that spot. Like,
do you want to see the list of players that didn't make All-NBA that got votes?
Yeah, read off the next few.
Karl-Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, Marc Gasol, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, Gordon Hayward, Hassan Whiteside, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Al Horford. Those are pretty good players.
Klay Thompson, Paul George, and Gordon Hayward. Wait, would Klay be a guard spot?
No, I'm just reading. Klay would have been a guard.
You could conceivably vote Jimmy as a forward or guard maybe on your ballot.
Well, but having Dwayne Wade made it so that...
Yeah, yeah. There's some hijinks there where you can wiggle room.
If he had qualified as a guard, Chris Paul didn't make it this year. And the guards that made it obviously were Harden, Russ,
so I'm just saying,
Isaiah,
Jimmy
Steph,
Butler could play at an incredibly high level the next 2 years and just barely miss it like Paul George did this year.
You know what helped him?
So it is not fait accompli that this is going to happen.
You know what helped him?
What?
Blake Griffin being hurt for a lot of the year.
Yeah.
Because he would have probably gotten... He was playing incredible before he got injured. He would have gotten to one of those forward spots, probably.
It's very...
And the Clippers had a really good record.
I mean, just because of the kind of 10 established guys in the NBA and Giannis breaking out, stuff like that, it's very hard to make this. So it is...
Which, like, that's what this whole the designated player extension was designed for. It's hard to make one of these All-NBA teams, so they wanted to reward the guys that actually
Kawhi,
make it.
Kawhi, John Wall, Kyrie Irving are going to be the other guys that are probably eligible for this in the coming years, stuff like that. Like, we're talking the elite.
LeBron.
The elite. LeBron, obviously, stuff like that. So, well, not LeBron, because he's passed 8-9 years.
Right. Unless,
there's some grandfathering in there it might do with, like, Westbrook and stuff.
Oh, they already said that Russ and Harden can both sign those extensions this summer.
Even though they're, like...
Bobby Marks had a list. If you go to his Twitter, he had a list of...
Yeah, so, it's a great accomplishment for Jimmy, but we're talking about this huge contract, and my point is it might be a $50 million fewer contract for Jimmy. It's still very much in play, too, just on how hard that is to make. I think that touches on most of the lottery All-NBA storyline, shenanigans, fun, Sean, I think. We did have some minor Bulls injury news. Major news for Summer League.
It qualifies as hard Bulls news.
Hard Bulls news, that is, according to the Bulls, behind the scenes, but not publicly. It's minor.
According to Denzel Valentine's Instagram.
Denzel Valentine had surgery on his left ankle. It was arthroscopic surgery. I believe he's supposed to have 3 or 4 weeks of rehab. We should point out...
It was characterized to me by the person who was in the Bulls organization that told me what it was as minor, but Cody has some thoughts about that.
It's not minor! They cut open his ankle! They operated on it! So, I have a very rudimentary, basic understanding of medicine, of surgery, of everything. Arthroscopic means it's the more minor because it's minimally invasive, okay? Like, yeah, I might have been on WebMD, whatever, Googling just to check. But that's always the case. It's more minor. It's a scope, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're cleaning it out. It's not like they're slicing him open and giving him 25 stitches and, like, poking around in his organs. But it's still surgery, okay? So it's not minor. If the Celtics, the Bucks... If teams that hadn't had injury problems, anyone else in the NBA that hadn't had medical problems in the NBA had said it's minor surgery, I might have just said it's minor. But I did point out to you that I don't expect anything to be minor from the Bulls anymore, because that was the exact word they used in their release back in 2014 when Joakim Noah had minor knee surgery, and it ended his career. He was never the same. He broke down. I do not believe the term minor in the Bulls organization.
Luol Deng was day-to-day with a spinal injury.
He had his agent have to release a statement saying that fearing for his life was serious. Okay? Not saying he was going to die, but saying that's how serious it was, the fact that they had some concern.
So, you know, there's, what I mean? So there's two things to keep in mind about this Denzel Valentine news, Cody. One is, does this kill your bold prediction of the Bulls are going to go an entire year without their medical staff having some weird stuff going on?
We might have to get the exact terminology of how I wrote that down and check back in later, because I feel like I said something about in the headlines. And technically,
I don't think Denzel Valentine is really headline worthy.
Well, technically, here's the other thing I wanted to point out. The Bulls didn't send out a press release on this, despite I inquired about whether they might send one out.
Right, me and Casey both talked to people behind the scenes about it.
Yes, so the Bulls thought it was so minor that they wouldn't even acknowledge it publicly.
We wouldn't ever have known this happened if Denzel hadn't posted the picture on Instagram.
I mean, Denzel would have told us at the Combine, or not the Combine, at the Summer League, and I'm thinking back to season-ending exit interviews.
He seemed fine then.
Yes, well, I specifically asked him that question because Bobby Portis had just had his end-of-the-season exit interview with management and then media, and Bobby revealed that he had that foot burn.
Right.
So then, logically, I followed up. I'm like, Denzel, you got, like, any injuries you need to let us know about or anything coming up this off-season? Because Bobby just revealed stuff we didn't know, and we know everyone always has nagging knee injuries or foot injuries or something wrong ankle with him. And he's like, no, you know, like, I got past those ankle injuries, and we should point out this is the same left ankle he sprained in the preseason after, I think he had a pretty good preseason debut, right? And then sprained it.
Missed the rest of training camp.
Yeah, that was a tough setback for him. Started to find his way, I think, was it late December, and then had that good game sometime in January, was it, against the Wizards, and then wasn't able to play because he sprained it again, I believe. That was sometime mid-winter there. So this is what he had scoped on, obviously late in the year. He played well late in the regular season. Not always consistent, I should say, but flashed a little bit more of what he could have, should have been, and found a little bit of rhythm, and then quizzically, puzzlingly, rode the bench basically the whole postseason, which he didn't understand, which management has cited as not quite understanding either, and which Fred didn't ever explain in great detail. But I digress, that's a different thing. But, I don't know. Like, I don't believe it's minor whatsoever. Anytime you cut it open in the Bulls, I don't know. Like, call me a pessimist, the cynic. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm always worried about this stuff. I'm not actually that worried about it because it wasn't like Joakim Noah did so much that year.
That was the year after. The summer after. Denzel's still young.
Joakim was broken down at the end of that year. Denzel wasn't actually broken down at the end of the year. It does seem
in the words of Rajon Rondo, he was very fresh because he wasn't playing very much.
Oh god, that's such a good.
That's like an underappreciated. Like in all the ridiculous Rondo stuff, that was like underappreciated. But the thing we really have to discuss was
Summer League.
What does this mean for the Summer League? I was told the other night when I asked about the injury that he would be ready in time to play for Summer League. He told us at the exit interview that he's going to play Summer League. Assuming he can play Summer League, the Bulls should be in pretty good position to defend their Summer League championship because Zipser's going to be there. Whoever they draft this year is going to be there. I think Cameron Payne is going to play Summer League.
They can call up somebody good from the Windy City Bulls to go out there with
them. Sure. If he doesn't play Summer League, do you think Paul Zipser can carry a team to a Summer League championship?
I do.
Is he a Summer League championship caliber player?
The legacy of the Luol Deng trade, $20 million. In Jerry Reinsdorf's pocket and two Summer League championships. If Paul Zipser can carry him to back-to-back, that would be so phenomenal. If that happened. Well, the NBA, I don't know if you saw, they sent out that release about Summer League coming up, whatever. I was like, dang, man, like, they don't even have the schedule out yet. That's all I wanted to see, you know, whatever it is.
Oh, right, because I got to make my plans.
But they had the all-time winning percentages or whatever in the Summer League, and the Bulls are like 6th or 7th all-time in winning percentage.
That's going to be a Gar Foreman talking point at some point.
It could be. That would be incredible if he cited back-to-back Summer League titles after they go for it. But there is nothing more pressing for the Bulls Summer League title hopes than whether Denzel Valentine's available, because he hit the game-tying three and then the game-winning shot at the buzzer to drive a stake through Tom Thibodeau's heart, I think, in the first or second row at, what, the Thomas and Mack Center or something?
Yeah.
Like,
who thinks Summer League doesn't matter has never won the Summer League championship.
Yeah, I think we referenced that like once a week on this podcast.
It's good though.
It's an all-time great quote, that's for sure. So, I guess best wishes, speedy recovery to Denzel Valentine, who looks like he was doing good in the photo he Instagrammed the other day. Beautiful sunset, foot propped up, chilling. I think he'll be
Navy Pier chilling.
Yep. he'll be absolutely fine. So I think that takes care of most of our Bulls storylines. I'm sure we'll have more. Anytime you guys want Jimmy Butler trade speculation talk, just bring it back at us. Send us some questions to Locked On Bulls on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. We're on Facebook by the name, too, if you want to navigate to the podcast that way. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with questions. If you want to argue about stuff that we said previously, yeah, go for that, too. We had the Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler was MVP Derrick Rose. Better or playing at a higher level than two-way superstar, third-team NBA guy Jimmy Butler.
And if you throw Paul Zipser into it, then how does that...
Exactly, and what are the implications for Paul Zipser?
Also, if you want to advertise with us and give us money, you can also email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Any inquiries like that are also much accepted.
We take straight cash, homie, like Randy Moss, or we take...
Or like Jimmy Butler's going to get once he signs this.
Or any other number of forms of... payment you can pay us with. But follow Sean on Twitter at Hike and myself at Cody Westfield, and be sure to check out The Athletic for Sean's work. They're doing great stuff. 670thescore.com for mine. Most of all, please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, any other service where you can find podcasts. Make sure you go on there and subscribe. Go on iTunes and leave us a review, preferably a 5-star review. Get us up in the iTunes charts a little bit. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Whatever your favorite NBA team is, whatever your favorite NFL team is, we've got podcasts for you on the network. And we will be back with you guys next week. Thanks for listening.